إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, we were talking about those who loved the Quran. I always think about, when I think about the Quran and the Sahaba, I always think about the Imamat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because that is the first thought that comes in the mind. Apart from the revelation, reciting the ayat as they were revealed, the most often that the Sahaba heard the Quran in the voice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was when they prayed behind him. And we know quite a lot about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's recitation. As I mentioned earlier, one of the qualities of his recitation was the fact that the recitation was alive. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite as he received it, and he would respond to the ayat, an ayat of good news, of bashara, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promises of goodness and jannah and so on. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would stop the recitation and he would make dua. And then ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his punishment and his anger were mentioned, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would stop the recitation and he would make dua for protection from that. Another thing we know is something about which surahs Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite at different times and different salawat. And one of the things we know that on Yawm al-Jum'ah, from Fridays, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recite Surah al-Sajda in the first rakat, and he would recite Surah al-Insan or Surah al-Dahr in the second rakat. And alhamdulillah, that's what you heard today also from the Imam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him. This is part of the beauty and beautification of Imamat, that not only do you recite, but you recite as far as possible in the way of Muhammad Rasulullah. Nobody can equal the recitation of Rasulullah, but we try to make an effort, and also we try to recite what he used to recite. So there is a sunnah in the recitation, there is a sunnah in the imamat, and this is from the beautification of the salah and from the beautification of the imamat. Alhamdulillah, we also saw that. So the thing to remember therefore is the salah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the salah of the sahaba behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Think also of the khushu of the sahaba. What must they have felt when they were listening to the Quran in the voice of the one who received the Quran? Alhamdulillah, today I remember a time in Hyderabad, when in my childhood, when the whole issue of recitation of Quran was not there. I mean, it was illa mashallah. Of course, if you were associated with madaris and so on, obviously you heard some Quran recitation, but general population, there was no sense of the beauty of recitation or anything like that. Tarawih was one, the salah plus 20 rakat of tarawih, and witr would finish in 1 hour. That kind of express recitation, you can't understand anything. All of this was normal. But today, if you look at it, alhamdulillah, there is a shaur, there is a awakening, there is an understanding, and there is a shauq, there is a desire for people to listen to good recitation of Quran. And masajid where the Quran is not recited fast, where the recitation is a measured recitation, which is the adab of recitation of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself in Surah Al-Qiyamah, the famous ayah, where he said, do not move your tongue fast while reciting the Quran. The clear indication, clear direction, do not recite fast. And he, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the ayat didn't come in relation to Tarawih. The ayat came in relation to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's eagerness to memorize the Quran. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would try to repeat those ayat which he received as fast as possible, as quickly as possible, so that he would not forget them. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala said, don't worry about forgetting. It is our job to make this Quran firm in your heart. That is the job of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. You recite properly, you recite Waratil Quran Tartila, do it in a measured way and peacefully and without hurry. So there is a specific adab to the recitation of the Quran. So there was nothing. Today there is a big, alhamdulillah, the people are masajid where the Quran is recited well. Alhamdulillah, we have Masjid Aziziya in Masab Tank, mashallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the Imam, Sheikh Imaduddin. The masjid, huge masjid, is completely full. I still remember the first time when he did the imamat for Tarawih, I was there. The very first time, after he got appointed the first year of Tarawih. And I remember he started reciting, and mashallah, very beautiful recitation. I think he may have done 4 rakat or something. And after that, there was somebody at the back and he said, this is too slow. Recite fast. And there was some commotion. And I still remember, Maulana Imaduddin, he turned around and he said, this is how I recite Quran. So if you want to pray behind me, pray. Otherwise, go find some other place. Or send me away. Very clearly. I said, alhamdulillah, this is some imam with backbone. And of course, the matter was over and all that. Today, that masjid is from that day, I'm talking about 2000 or 2001. From that time to now, 2017, that masjid is easily maybe 3 times or 4 times its size because they have put 2-3 floors on top. That masjid is completely full, totally. So people are, they are eager to learn, alhamdulillah. And that's why it is so important to develop the shauq of the Quran, to develop this desire to learn the Quran and to understand the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to go on with the stories of those who came to be known as the friends of the Quran, one day Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came into the masjid, and this is not at the time of Fard Salah, so other than Fard Salah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, and along with him were the 2 of his closest companions, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. And as they entered the masjid, they heard recitation of the Quran. And they saw Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu anhu in Salah, and he was reciting Quran. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped and listened to him. And he said to his 2 companions, he said, if you want to hear the Quran as beautiful as it was when it was revealed, listen to the recitation of Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu anhu. So this happened. These 3, the best of creation, they finished their whatever they were doing, they left. And then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu came back into the masjid. By then Abdullah ibn Masud had finished his salah and so on, he was there. Sayyidina Umar came and said to him, do you know what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about you? He said, what did he say? He said, this is what he said. He's passing on the good news. He said, this is how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam praised your recitation of Quran. Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu anhu thanked him, and he said, Jazakum Allah khairan. He said, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu came and told me this just now before you. Now, here is the issue where today we are very quick to pass on bad news. If somebody says something negative, people will always come and tell you. But good news, nobody will tell you. But the Sahaba, this was the beauty, that if something, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam praised one of them, they would go and come with, this is what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to you. And they would take precedence in that. So when Sayyidina Umar came and said to him, radiallahu anhu, he said, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu has already told me this. Yeah, see the beauty of this. One day, Abu Musa al-Ashari, there were some of the Sahaba who were, all the Sahaba loved the Quran, but there were some of them, obviously, they were different people and so on. So some of them were very, very good in their recitation, very beautiful recitation. So among them was also Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu anhu. He was from Yemen. And one day he was in the masjid, And he was praying and he was reciting Quran, and he had this sense as if somebody is standing behind him. So anyway, he's in Salah, so he can't turn around and see. So when he finished his Salah and made his Salam, who does he see standing behind him? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he made Salam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I was standing and listening to your recitation. And he made dua for him. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, if I knew that you were listening to my recitation, I would have recited even more beautifully. Another one of the Sahaba, Rizwanullahi alayhim ajmain, is Usaid bin Hudayr radiallahu anhu, who I mentioned yesterday, I think, in the three people about whom Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anhu said that there is no one among the Ansar who can excel these three people in their good deeds, in their khair. So Usaid bin Hudayr radiallahu anhu, one day he was camped outside of Medina and he was praying tahajjud and he was reciting Quran. So he came and narrated this story to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I was reciting Quran, and he said that my little small child was sleeping close to me, near my feet. And he said, my horse was also tied close by. So he said, as I was reciting Quran, I saw a cloud descend from the heavens. And there were lights sparkling inside this cloud. Lights flashing inside this cloud. So he said, my horse started panicking. And when I stopped my recitation, this cloud would rise. And then when I start reciting again, the cloud would come down. So he said, I finished my recitation quickly because I didn't want this horse to panic and break his rope or something, and my child was sleeping and I was afraid that the child might get injured. So I quickly finished my recitation. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, what was this? This phenomena which I saw, what was this? Rasulullah said, this was the malaika who came down to listen to your recitation. And he said, if you had continued to recite, the people of Medina would have seen the malaika. Yeah. Now these are stories which are not just stories, these are parts of the history of the Muslims. This is one of the very important things to understand, that our history is not the history of your family or my family or your tribe or my tribe, or history of Indian Muslims or Pakistani Muslims or Arab Muslims. Nationalism in terms of asabiyat of the qawm, of the of your race and so forth, in Islam is haram. It is haram. This kind of, which is what is killing. I mean, for example, all the tamasha happening in the Middle East is a result of this. This is haram. This is what Rasulullah ﷺ wiped out when he created the brotherhood of faith. Not a brotherhood of tribe and brotherhood of this nasal and that nasal. Nabi ﷺ said the brotherhood of the Muslim, a Muslim is the brother of another Muslim. And the only brotherhood that is there between the Muslims is the brotherhood of faith, which is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And that's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself mentioned this in the Quran, in the ayat which I have recited before you many times, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fa'budun. And in another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, inna ummatukum ummatan wahida, inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fattaqun. So in one place, inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fa'budun, and in another place, inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fattaqun. One refers to the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the other one refers to the rest of our lives outside the ibadah, which must be led in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is taqwa? Taqwa is the desire and the awareness and the consciousness never to displease Allah in anything we do. So one refers to direct ubudiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who will you worship? And the other one refers to the rest of our lives outside of worship, which must also be led in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalal. So therefore the this is our also. Therefore when we talk about the Sahaba, we must see this as our history. This is not some story of the Arab tribes of the 7th century. We are talking about the history of the Muslims. It's your history, it's my history. And you don't have to have a lineage and a relationship and, you know, directly my grandfather and great-grandfather and so on, related to so-and-so. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. What matters is, alhamdulillah, we are Muslim and they were Muslims and we got our Islam from them. That is our history. So in Islam, getting your genes from somebody is not important. Getting your deen from somebody is important. You could have got your genes from anyone. It makes no difference. Who did you get your deen from? That is important. And we got our deen from Muhammad Rasulullah and from his Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. May Allah be pleased with all of them. And that is what is important, which is who did we get our deen from? And that is why they are our, we call them what? Salafus Salihin. How are they our Salaf? How are they our predecessors? Not genetically, not biologically. They are our predecessors spiritually in terms of our deen, in terms of our understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what they brought for us is the Quran al-Kareem and the love for the Quran al-Kareem. So therefore I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who also insha'Allah will be known as the friends of the Quran. And tomorrow and so on, shufa binlai ta'ala, we talk about what is the benefit of being associated with the Quran in the Akhirah, if Allah gives the tawfiq. But for today, we ask and we end with this, the dua, to say that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who will be considered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I'm saying be known, I'm not saying be known as your name and fame in the world. That doesn't matter. Name and fame in the world is, first of all, doesn't matter. Secondly, that is a trap. A lot of people come to grief because they're running behind name and fame. So don't worry about fame, and it doesn't matter. The best life is the one which was led in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and nobody knew that you lived and nobody knew that you died. That is the dua I make for myself also. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me no name and no fame, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause me to be forgotten the day I'm dead. It doesn't matter, you don't need to be remembered. What is important is, was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased with you or not? And that is what we should aim for. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased and never to be displeased. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.